Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
And that's not all of them. We have many religious consecrated men and women who are in our diocese, and today we honor them on this fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time, the day before the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, the day on which the whole church acknowledges and thanks and affirms our religious women and men in the Catholic Church. Thank you, sisters and brothers and fathers, for all that you are in your consecrated life to the church. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you have given us the consolation of the truth. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd leading us to everlasting life. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Grant us, Lord our God, that we may honor you with all our mind and love everyone in truth of heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
The first reading, a reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to all of the people, saying, "A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen. This is exactly what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not again hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, lest we die.' And the Lord said to me, 'This was well said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kin, and I will put my words into his mouth. He shall tell them all that I command him.' Whoever will not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it. But if a prophet presumes to speak in my name, an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die. The word of the Lord.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us ring out our joy to the Lord. Hail the rock who saves us. Let us come into his presence giving thanks. Let us hail him with a song of praise. If let us bow and bend low. Let us kneel before the God who made us. For he is our God, and we the people who belonging to his pasture, the flock that is led by his hand. If today today you would listen to his voice, harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massa in the desert, when your forebears put me to the test, when they tried me, though they saw my work. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I should like you to be free of anxieties, but an unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. But a married man is anxious about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and he is divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is anxious about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy in both body and spirit. A married woman, on the other hand, is anxious about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. I am telling you this for your own benefit, not to impose a restraint upon you, but for the sake of propriety and adherence to the Lord without distraction. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, a light has arisen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Sisters and brothers, as we continue with the Mass and I give a homily, I'd like to address myself in a very particular way to our religious consecrated men and women. We're all part of the same family and we all have the vocation of our baptism, so you may listen in and tune in, and I'm sure that something will click with you as well. So I think when we speak of one part of the church, we also speak to the other. So I would like to address them in a very particular way, but it will resonate, I hope, with many of you. My dear sisters and brothers, many of you yesterday participated in a day of prayer with Sister Patricia McCarthy. And one of the things that she said, and I resonate with totally, is that there is a crisis in our world, and there's a crisis in religious life. It's not the crises so much in your case as consecrated men and women of fewer numbers, fewer vocations, or an aging population. It is for all of us a crisis of faith. a crisis of faith, which unfortunately at times we become victims to ourselves. O you of little faith, ask the harvest master to send workers, laborers into the field. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And as we read in the gospel yesterday, as the waves were tossing the boat and the disciples around, and Jesus slept quietly on the cushion, as he woke up and calmed the waves, he said, "Where is your faith?" And so as the church proclaims this year, since the end of 2014, the year for consecrated life, 50 years after the decree from the Second Vatican Council on consecrated life, it is a time for you, for me, for all of us to look at ourselves. Do we have faith? Because faith produces something big in us. It does not diminish our forces. It does not diminish our hope. It enlivens our hope. And as we will speak of in a moment, it gives us joy. The crises of faith in any realm of life is the crises of the inability or unwillingness or hardness of heart to encounter mystery, the unknown. Because God is mystery. And those of us of a practical mentality don't like mystery, because you cannot solve it. You cannot put it in a box. You cannot fix it. God is mystery. Each human person is mystery. We are a mystery to each other. We are a mystery to each other, as God in many ways is mystery to us. But when we encounter a mystery with faith, we receive an invitation. Faith gives us an invitation to enter into the mystery, not turn away from it, not to run from it, not to try to fix it. Faith calls us as an invitation to look at the mystery, to stand in awe in front of the mystery. Many times in our society today, we see the exterior, what a person looks like, what they talk like, what their skin color is, all the exteriors. And that's not so mysterious, because I can see it. What remains mysterious is the person, as God is mystery. Until I am able to speak to you, to come to know you, to work with you, to live with you, we remain mysteries, and we will always remain mystery to a degree. But the invitation of Jesus to all of us is to come to the mystery, come to the waters. We see this beautifully in a few Sundays ago when John pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the one you are looking for. Behold the one we have been waiting for." And the disciples started after Jesus, and he turned around and he asked, "What do you want?" Well, it's not just a casual question, because as God, he knew what they wanted. They didn't. And so they asked the obvious question, "Where do you stay?" And there was the invitation, "Come and see. Come and see. Come and live the mystery. Come and get to know me. Come, come. Come." The mystery of life, the mystery of faith, creates an attraction. An attraction. When there's mystery, there's an attraction. It leads to a journey to discover that mystery. And this is the beauty of a vocation, and each of your vocations in particular. Because at a certain point, you said, without these words perhaps, "Where do you stay?" And the Lord looked at you and said, "Come and see. Come and see. What is consecrated life? What is the life that you started, some of you, several years ago? What is consecrated life? I'd like to give you part of a definition of Pope Francis at the beginning of his pontificate. He said, this following of Christ, consecrated life, it is a call to take up his way of life, to adopt his interior attitude, to allow yourself to be invaded by the Holy Spirit, to absorb his surprising logic. And that's the one I like. Not the logic of the world. 1 + 1 = 2. Done, completed, ended. The logic of the world that says, you have heard it said that you shall love those who love you and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. That is the logic of Jesus Christ. And that is the logic that everyone who calls themselves a disciple is to follow. Not the logic of human society. To absorb also his scale of values and to share in his risks and hopes. You don't get up every morning and know what's going to happen. You run the risk every morning when you get up and say, my life is in your hands. That's risky, but it's full of hope. It leads to nothing but completeness of life. The link between mystery and attraction, the mysterious call of God in your life, the mysterious life of Jesus Christ, and your attraction to it, even today, is the human soul desiring for transcendence, desiring for more, that is not satisfied with the here and now, but wants God. St. Francis turned to Claire of Assisi as she began to follow his way of life, and he looked at her and he said, what do you want? She only had one answer in response. I want God. I want to transcend myself. Each of you, sisters and brothers, has had a moment of personal encounter with Jesus. And his sister Patricia invited you yesterday, I would ask you during this week, this year, to go back to that first encounter, whether it was in front of the Blessed Sacrament, whether it was in a moment of reconciliation and penance, whether it was in personal deep prayer or service to another, but you encountered the face of Jesus. He looked at you and said, I love you. I want you. I want you to follow me. And you followed. That's why you are here today. Maybe with a little hesitation in some cases, maybe not. But you are here today. The encounter with Jesus in our life, per se, necessitates what the Holy Father calls a relocation. You have to relocate yourself every day. Every day, a relocation. Many of you know what that means from the Philippines, from Vietnam, from Ireland, from Mexico, from Spain. All of you who are here know what relocation means, being sent. That's who we are. But the Holy Father was not speaking of that assignment, relocation. He was speaking of an interior relocation. You have to relocate your heart from yours to his, to Jesus. Every day, relocate the center of your existence, the center of your being, into the other, into Jesus. And without that, we will not find life in the ministry we do. This journey of faith, this journey with Jesus, in Jesus, deeper into the mystery, is dynamic. And each one of us can speak so beautifully of that. How dynamic is this relationship? Why did they send me there? Do they not know what I need? Relocation. Relocation. It leads to a deeper mystery and a deeper encounter. If you have responded and you are here today, and some of you celebrating years of faithful commitment, you know what it means to meet Jesus Christ, to live with him, to live with his attitude, to be open to his spirit. Because there's an element of the Christian life which you can also identify with, and which each one of us should identify with strongly. And that is the mystery of mysteries, the cross. The cross. In the letter that the Congregation for Consecrated Life sent at the beginning of this year of consecrated life, there was a quote from His Holiness about the cross in the life of religious. And I'd like to present that again to you today. It says, "Faithful discipleship is grace and love in action. It is the practice of sacrificial charity, of relocating me into the you." And here's the quote from the Holy Father. "When we journey without the cross, when we build without the cross, when we profess Christ without the cross, we are not disciples of the Lord. We are worldly. We may be bishops, priests, cardinals, popes, religious, laity, married, single, but we are not disciples of Jesus Christ if we do not journey with the cross." But your life, all of our lives as Christians, is not a life nailed to the cross. Because Jesus Christ has conquered the cross. And if we live in him, if we enter into his mystery, we will discover the other side of that mystery of cross, its resurrection. That's what we live. Anyone who is nailed to the cross is the person with a long face, "Poor me, woe is me." That's not who we are. We are on the other side of the cross. We have to go through it because we're disciples, but we live on the other side. And what is the fruit of fruits of the Holy Spirit in the resurrection, and the one that the Holy Father points out to you for this year as a renewal? It is the gift, the fruit of joy. To be joyful women, to be joyful men, to be joyful laity, to be a joyful bishop, joyful priests, all of us, joy. But we will not know true joy unless we follow the way of the cross. Live with the Holy Spirit. Continue living with the Holy Spirit, dear sisters, and live that Spirit together in community. I want to conclude by saying the church needs you. The world needs you, especially. It needs new vocations to consecrated life. It's not so much that we need your work and your ministry. We need your witness. The world needs your witness to Christ, to community life as church. We live in a world that is egocentric. It is self-absorbed and becoming more so every day. With your vow of obedience, you say to the world, that world of self-absorption, "I found joy in obedience," with a smile on my face. Not without the cross, but beyond the cross. In a world that is consumed with consumerism, "I gotta have it. I gotta have more of it. That's what makes me real, the more I have," you say to the world, "I found joy in poverty. I've left it all to follow Jesus Christ, and my life is full." To a world that is losing more and more a sense of integrity of the human person, with the abuse of the body, with a life of hedonism, you say to the world, with a smile on your face, I have found joy in a life of chastity with my brothers and sisters. That's who you are. Those wonderful evangelical counsels, recommit yourself to them. Poverty, chastity, and obedience. They all symbolize the cross, because Jesus was most chaste on the cross, he was most obedient on the cross, and he was the poorest he was ever been on the cross, but he conquered it with his resurrection. Thank you. May you continue to discover the mystery of God in your life, the mystery of your call, the mystery of Jesus Christ, until he comes again and says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. May Mary, the mother of Jesus, remain your mother and your model always. Today, as we celebrate World Day of Consecrated Life, in this year of consecrated life, we take the opportunity today to recognize those in consecrated life who are celebrating jubilees. This year, we acknowledge with gratitude consecrated lives of commitment ranging in length from 25 to 70 years as a religious. Those 25 years, Sister Isabel Lopez of the Pax Christi Institute. Celebrating 40 years, Sister Mary Patricia Burns, Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, Sister Rosalia Arcat, Sisters of the Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, Sister Teresa Morin, Sisters of Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Celebrating 50 years, Sister Mary Patricia Flood, Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, Sister Amalia Mata, Schoenstatt Sisters, Sister Avelina Sosa, Missionary Sisters of Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Celebrating 60 years of consecrated life, Sister Marion Bradley, the Sisters of Incarnate Word, the Blessed Sacrament, and celebrating 70 years of faithful consecrated life, Sister Mary Caroline Fritter, Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, and Sister Agnes Marie Tingler, Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament. I present to you, my dear friends, the jubilarians in consecrated life serving in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. My sisters, you have committed yourself to the Lord through professing the evangelical counsels of celibate chastity, poverty, and obedience. On behalf of his church, I thank you for your years of dedication. In the presence of the assembly, I now invite all of you to renew your commitment to follow Christ in consecrated life. And I invite all those who share in consecrated life to now stand and join with the jubilarians in renewing your commitment to serving the Lord in his holy people through your vocation. We have heard the renewal and commitment of our sisters and brothers in their consecrated life. Let us, through our response, assure them of our continued prayers and support. We, the Church of Corpus Christi, Thank God for the witness and service given us by these women and men. We will continue to support them and share with them the hopes and fears, the joys and challenges of our life together in Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, you have invited these women and men to a life of public service and witness in your church. May they continue to bear witness to the great grace of their vocation, persevering in a life of prayer and service. May you fulfill in them the hundredfold promise to those who give up all for the sake of the gospel through Christ our Lord. Amen. Once again, thank you, sisters and brothers, very much. As the people of God on this first day of the week, the day of the Lord, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead, in the life of the world to come. Amen. My brothers and sisters, on this anniversary of those who have professed consecrated life, let us turn to God our Father in prayer, and let us ask him to hear these petitions.
For our Holy Father, Pope Francis, our Bishop Michael, and for all priests, that they may always be courageous in their leadership, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our sisters and brothers in consecrated life, in a special way those celebrating their Jubilee, that their personal desire live out the evangelical counsels and to know and love God find them continuing to seek more time to be in God's presence. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace among nations, that God may rid the world of violence and let us serve him in freedom, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who are ill, that the healing hand of God will be their consolation, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us gathered here to celebrate God's blessings, that we may prayerfully consider the many gifts God has given us and give back to him by responding with lives filled with faith, courage, and love, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who have died, especially beloved sisters and brothers of the religious communities represented here, that they and all who have gone before us will enjoy the eternal rewards promised by Christ. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray for the intentions of this Mass. We pray for Maria Esperanza Gonzalez and her family, and we pray for the eternal repose of the souls of Dora Perez, Patsy Hinojosa, Frank Garza Jr., and Emilio A. Tapia. We pray to the Lord. And for all those prayers and intentions, we offer to the Father in the silence of our hearts. For these prayers and intentions, we pray to the Lord.
Good and gracious Father, hear our prayers today and keep us open to your love. May we look at you as you look upon us with love, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and for the glory of his holy church.
O Lord, we bring to your altar these offerings of our service. Be pleased to receive them, we pray, and transform them into the sacrament of our redemption, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God,
For you so loved the world that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you love in your Son, by whose obedience we have been restored to those gifts of yours that by sinning we had lost in disobedience. And so, Lord, with all the angels and saints, we too give you thanks as in exaltation we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and gave you thanks. He said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God,
hello,
Blessed Joseph,
I'm
spouse,
Father Han Fong,
with the blessed
Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.